The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
What a gorgeous Monday night in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game as we will talk Vanderbilt football and more coming up in this hour. Commodore head football coach Derek Mason will join us here in just a moment. And then at the bottom of the hour, we are hoping to have World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher and Vandy boy Walker Buehler, who's going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about his wonderful experience in winning a World Series championship. But we'll have Coach Mason with us here in just a moment. Vanderbilt football brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. Commodores get set to travel to Starkville, Mississippi to take on the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. We'll talk about that with Coach Mason coming up right after this. It is always great to have you with us for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Glad to be joined, as always, by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason as we get set to travel to Starkville, Mississippi to take on the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Coach, I want to start with some positives, if you don't mind, and I'm sure you will like talking about those because there are a few to talk about. One is freshman Ken Seals, 31 of 40. 319 yards, two touchdowns, one interception in the contest against Ole Miss. I think clearly his best performance as a Commodore. Talk about his development.
Well, Ken, I thought Ken and, you know, the offense, you know, I mean, took advantage of the opportunity to be together, I thought, really, in terms of the timing of the pass game and, you know, I mean, what we saw. Obviously, we were, you know, got down early, but I thought offensively, you saw the offense was able to move the ball. I thought we threw the ball better. The concepts were better. He felt comfortable. And we gave up one sack on the night. And I think, you know, overall, he had a pretty good command of the pocket and found, you know, his targets. I mean, obviously, he threw some guys open. Some guys made some plays for him. You know, Cam Johnson, I think he had 14 catches. You know, in that ball game, but again, I thought the offense was going to look, you know, exactly the way they had practiced. Just due to the simple fact, it was comfortable for him. He had pretty good command of it, and guys made plays for him. You know, both in the run game and the pass game. I thought it looked the way it needed to look. We just need a little more efficiency, but I thought overall, you know, like Ken still is going to be a really good quarterback.
I think it's interesting, and we wondered this, when you get into the final minutes, you know, of a game that's the way it is, and it's one-sided, it's done, but you've got a true freshman quarterback, and you play him, and you let him go ahead and play. You've got Jeremy Musa on the sideline that I think you know, kind of like to get him an opportunity too, but how much of it is just, you know what, the more reps we can get for this true freshman quarterback, the better off we are.
I think it's definitely about, you know, putting him in those situations and just seeing how he handles. I mean, I thought he competed, you know, to the end. I thought, you know, for us, you know, to be able to have, you know, a couple of segments where, you know, we had possessions and we went down, scored on one, had another opportunity late with the throw to Keon. You know, I think in this, you just want to, you know, see him mature, handle this team. You know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you want to be able to let this young guy, you know, figure it out, and the guys around him to figure out exactly who he is. So, you know, there's a lot of trust in what he can do, what he brings to the table, and I think Vanderbilt's found found himself a quarterback of the future, no doubt.
Well, you had several guys, and you mentioned Cam Johnson a moment ago, and I want to talk about him too. 14 catches, I mean, that's spectacular. I don't care who you're playing or what situation you are in. It seemed like that Ken and Cam kind of had a little rhythm going, you know, right there. And Cam made some terrific, I mean, tough catches. I mean, scooped one off the turf, you know, got a couple of them out of bounds, you know, right on the sideline. I mean, I think he showed a tremendous ability just to be a possession receiver, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam, we've known all along that Cam is competitive. But, I mean, it was good to see, him do what he can do. There were some matchups, and he had an opportunity. I mean, he had some key, third and fourth down catches to keep the chains moving. And he's a guy that can be counted on. But it was also good to see, Ben Bresnahan, get targeted and make some plays. And you saw Chris Pierce, go up and get a football. And I know that's what he's capable of doing. But, I think he had six catches on the day. I think all these guys are viable weapons, and I think as McKinn continues to get comfortable, with the offense, we're gonna see him have days like this, more days than not.
You're reading my notes, Derek. I had them down the list here. I wanted to mention Ben Bresnahan and Chris Pierce, so you have brought them up. Let me start with Ben because, boy, what a solid tight end he has become. Not only the blocking game, but makes tough catches, can get you the first down. He has really become a very solid performer on this offense, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think when you look at guys, you're looking for guys who are going to show up, every week, depending on what the defense gives you, there's going to be different, opportunities and concepts, whether they be down the middle of the field, finding open windows, being able to, run some isolations. He's going to get catches, but I think what you're starting to see is really what a really good, tight end can do for your offense. And as we continue to move forward, we're gonna continue to have, targets, for Ben, in terms of going into games. And again, everybody who becomes a viable target, offensively makes it harder to guard, in the field. When you got more than what just one target that you can key in on, It really opens up the field for the quarterback. And so, that's what we're trying to do. I thought, we had some tempo. We were able to, find some open spaces, and we were able to move the football. We're going to get better at putting points on the board. But for us, that was a good sign, coming off a short break, man, where there was an opportunity to get better, that we got better. And, we're just going to have to continue to keep, moving this thing forward as we continue to, head towards Mississippi State.
Another guy you mentioned was Chris Pierce, and we had not called his name much at all this year until this game on Saturday. And Derek, I think he's a guy that you've kind of looked at and said, I'm waiting for this guy to take that next step, to be that guy. He's 6'4", he's got the height, he's got the hands. Made two great catches, one for a touchdown in the end zone that was a terrific catch. And I just wonder if that's a confidence boost for him and gives you more confidence to go to him.
Well, it does. I mean, you look across the board and, you've got, Amir, on one side, and you got CP on the other. You've got the ability to find Ben Bresnahan. You can find Cam. And now the last piece of this deal is, getting Bostic started, because when we do that, then you got guys all over the field that can make plays, and that's not even including the running back. So I think, all catch the ball pretty well out of the backfield, because I thought Keon Brooks caught the ball, well. So, again, the more targets, the more weapons you have, okay, the tougher it is, whether it's run or pass. And I thought we saw some good things off the play action, game, but when he had when Kim was back there and it was wide open to him, he found CP. He found the matchups that he wanted. Like, he was able to do a pretty good job of making sure, man, that he put some pace on those balls. The one thing that you see from Kim to those wideouts, he puts it in places where they can catch it.
So let's jump to the other side now, Derek. We're talking with Commodore head coach Derek Mason, obviously, and you're a defensive-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix the defensive issues that you have right now? I know some of it's personnel. I know some of it is not having guys you thought you would have, and I think we all understand that. But how do you address that to make this defense more what you have in mind?
Yeah, as myself and Coach Bruce Gettleman talked, I mean, you know, you looked at the game and the game didn't go the way you wanted it to, and you know, you're looking at, you know, making adjustments and you're you know, tweaking this and tweaking that, and felt like in that ball game that we were chasing it a little bit. You know, a lot of people don't realize. I mean, we got guys back last week, and it was good to have, you know, 95% of your guys back. But the unfortunate piece is when you're getting guys back on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, even though they've been cleared. You know, it's just the ability to be able to. It's the chemistry that you're talking about. It's the communication. You know, I mean, the game was fast. We knew it was going to be a fast-paced game. You know, probably could have done a better job of putting those guys in some different concepts. But when you went back and you looked at the tape, you know, as we did, and we talked about some of the adjustments, you know, guys were just a little off. We were a little slow with some of the checks and adjustments. We didn't necessarily play the techniques the way they were supposed to be played. We didn't utilize our help. And in some of those situations, they were the same plays that we had run, you know, like a couple of times, man, but the recognition was just a little slow, a little off. And when you play against a team that gives you pace, and you know, I look at Corral, man. He had a heck of a game. I mean, he made throws. I mean, he was accurate. You know, he found his targets. You know, like for us, I mean, we gave up the deep ball, you know, way too often, like in that ball game. And really for us, I mean, you know, it was little things. It was like, you know, technical leverage. Playing top down, like not squeezing routes and letting routes, you know, like run away from us a little bit. And, you know, I mean, when you looked at it, I mean, some of that was three-man pass rush. But, like, we had a couple of, you know, pass rushes that were, you know, zero pressure. And twice, man, and we had guys fall down, you know, running towards the quarterback. And you're like, wow, I mean, is this really happening? I mean, it just felt like we were chasing it, you know, all the way around. But like I told, like, the guys, I said, look, okay, you know, that's not who we are. That's not the ball game that we wanted to play, man. But that's what we are. That's what's on tape. And now what we got to do is chase it off the tape. Okay, you know, collectively. Okay, coaches, it starts with coaches, man. But let's make sure, man, that we get all these little tweaks and adjustments, you know, man, correct. And then, you know, man, players, you know, man, players make the tape come alive. And like with that, you know, man, I told these guys, let's take it. It's information. Oh, man, let's flush it as fast as we can because we got to turn around and we got to play a team, man, that who thinks now that they're gonna throw the ball through the air, and mm-hmm. there's nothing really telling them that they can't. So, you know, for us right now, it had to start because we practiced today, you know, a little less than 48 hours, you know, after we had played on you know, Saturday, because we're off tomorrow because of voting. But we got back to work. And you know, I mean, we got those guys' attention looking at the film on Sunday, came back in today, you know, man, had a like good work day. We've got to trust the technique. We got to trust, you know, like what's around us. Like I told them, like, I trust you completely. I'm not going to step off of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Trust in your training, play the game the right way. We'll coach it the right way. And let's make sure, man, that we don't allow this to happen to us again. And everybody agreed. And I think that's what it's about. It's about taking in the information. How do you fix it? Let's turn the page because you don't get it back.
We're visiting with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. Before we go to the break, Derek, I wonder, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, guys, you know, they're in a scheme. They're thinking about what they have to do. But you have to get to a point where the thinking becomes instinct.
That's right.
And once that happens, you pick up time. I mean, things happen quicker. Are you kind of in that role right now where guys defensively are still trying to get from thinking to instinct?
You know, I think more than anything else, as you look at the time, and you know, when you're out, you know, I mean, any length of time, you know, if you're out a week and a half, you're out, you know, 10, 14, 16 days, I think as much as, you know, like the conditioning piece is what everybody's you know, concerned about. I think the idea, too, is how do you put it all together? Because it's about chemistry. It's about, you know, understanding where a guy's going to be, okay? And you know, whether it, you know, some people call it muscle memory. Other people call it just you know, intuitiveness, just in terms of being able to understand how it all works together. Guys got lined up. We understood what the plan was, but, you know, the overall execution, you know, at times was just a little, you know, step slow. And the adjustments just seemed to, you know, be chasing it. And I think that's all about guys relearning one another. I mean, listen, you got, you know, 3 to 4 days to get everybody, like, on the same page in terms of a practice week in order to make it, you know, work. And then there are no excuses in this. You play the game, and when you don't play it right, you're on the right, okay? And that starts with me, man. You sort of open yourself up to, okay, man, what are they doing? This should be better. Man, our players are going to be fine, okay? Our players are going to be fine. I think the guys who have to flush it the fastest are probably the coaches, because at the end of the day, you understand what the plan was, and I think it gets back to the idea of chemistry, okay, invested reps, being on the same page, and when you do so, you know, man, guys just sort of go on autopilot in terms of checks, adjustments, and all the other things that come with playing football. Because a lot of what you see, you know, is schematic, but some of it's just being instinctive about what you do and how you attack it.
We're glad, as always, to have Commodore head football coach Derek Mason with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get ready and talk about Mississippi State coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Glad to be joined, as always, by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. During the football season, Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, has been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. And, Coach, I'll ask you, and I'm not looking for an excuse here, but has the COVID situation affected your team maybe more than most?
Yeah, I really haven't had a chance to understand everybody else's, you know, COVID situation. I do know, just looking at where we sit, you know, our roster has been, you know, dim just a little bit. But, you know, in this, I think, man, we got enough good players, you know, I mean, to play these games, to compete in these games, and win these games. And I think, you know, man, for us, I mean, it's definitely about, you know, like navigating, like the identity. And making sure, remember, that you can, like, move that forward. I think, you know, for us right now, I mean, I think we're doing some really good stuff on the other, on the offensive side. I think the defensive side is going to come together. I think, you know, I mean, you really have a lot of guys that haven't played together for, you know, like, a little bit. And so, again, I bring it back to the idea of you know, man, never making excuses, you know, man, for where we're sitting, where we're at. And we've got a football season upon us. It's an opportunity, you know, man, for our team, for our program to get better. I mean, these games mean something. And so, like, with that, I'm just going to, you know, like, look for our team to take the opportunity to get better, and let's be better. But I'm sure everybody's been affected in some shape, form, or fashion. For us, every player in our program matters. And so, I mean, when you have, you know, some missing for various reasons, you know, does it make it challenging? Absolutely. But, you know, with that, for great challenges come great opportunities. So, you know, other guys are getting reps. We're learning to, you know, man, grow within, you know, the spaces that we're in, and that's what's important for this football team right now. I mean, we got to be able to go through it to get to it, and that's the way I feel. That's the way they're working, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
I follow you on Twitter, Derek. I know what a lot of our fans do, and in the social media world. How do you ignore the chatter that's going on out there, or can you ignore it?
You know, when you're a public figure, and you know, man, fans and people out there, you know, definitely have the right, you know, man, to voice an opinion and have an opinion about what you do, what it looks like, and that I think that's fair. You know, when you step into these roles, man, I mean, there's going to be, you know, scrutiny. I mean, there's opportunity for praise. There's opportunity for, you know, things to always go your way. And then sometimes, man, you got to climb, uphill and work through it. And in that, I've never fully, bought into the idea of what other people, may say or think about, what we do. I respect what they say. I mean, I pay attention to what they say, man, but I don't let that affect, how I go to work or what I do or how I try to do my job. I mean, I've made, a commitment to parents and student athletes to try to make sure at the end of the day that they grow in this process and they have a chance to compete in this process. And more than anything else, man, parents get a better product back than the ones they drop off. And so, I owe that to Commodore Nation. I owe that to, the student athletes and their parents. And we're gonna get this thing headed exactly where it needs to go. But like I said, sometimes you got to go through it to get to it.
So now you get ready for Mike Leach's air raid offense, which has kind of been interesting, hasn't it? Because, they started out like a house of fire and beat LSU, and people were talking about, oh, here comes the pirate, and he's making things happen. And over the last few games, people have caught up with him a little bit. What is the challenge of dealing with slowing down that air raid offense?
Yeah, we got a taste of, a similar air raid offense, like this past week. And I think, for us, it's really locked everybody in to, being on the screws and the details of what you see, what you know is coming. He's going to run what he runs. He's very good at what he does. They're good at what they do. For us, it's definitely about making sure, man, that we can, contain, some of the explosive passes, make sure, man, that you don't try to let the running game truly get started. And some may say that they don't have a run game, but that's not true. I think, for them, they choose to throw the football. And so it looks different with some of the screens and some of the other things that they do in terms of getting the ball out on the perimeter. Myself and Coach Roof, we're talking today. We met extensively. We still got, some more meeting to do tonight. But there's some things that are available to us, man, that we need to, focus and concentrate on, really tighten this package up, get the guys, fully confident in what they're going to see. Because when you understand what you're going to see, the idea of what you do, throughout the week really, really starts to add up, and those investor reps lead you in the right direction. So we're definitely moving in the right direction. We're headed that way. They're going to present some challenges with both how they spread the field, vertically and horizontally, when they've got big wideouts, they got good running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And again, it's about making sure, man, we can minimize some of these, explosive plays. And that's got to be, the order of the day, minimizing the explosive plays and making sure, man, that we tackle and get off the field on third down. But we've got to find ourselves getting from first to second, to third, and earning that right. We'll like how this thing, it starts to develop, but you got to play a 60-minute ball game, not 30 minutes, not 20 minutes. You got to be 60.
Before I let you go, Derek, I think one of the things that I noticed, and Norman Jordan talked about it on the broadcast as well, when things weren't necessarily going your way, it was very clear that this team never folded. I mean, they never gave in. They kept going. They kept doing, they kept playing hard. I know you expect that, and I think we all expect that, but that's not a given. I mean, there are teams that get in this situation that just kind of let it go, and your guys have not done that at all.
Yeah, well, I think I got to give, these captains, a lot of credit for, how they've handled it, how they've seen this. It's easy sometimes, for players, because of social media and everything around you, to let the noise really start to bother you about what's happening. But, I had the leaders come to me, individually, just after this, and coach, what needs to be done? What do you see? And I gave them, a couple of things to look at. But I think for the most part, after letting them, sort of walk through it over the last couple of days, those guys have been adamant about now, truly what they see and how things, look and what things need to look like. Believe me, it's the smallest of things, okay, that can beat you. They say football is a game of inches. Well, you know, every inch counts here, you know, man, for us. In every space, in every place of our building, you know, man, how we take the field, how we practice, you know, what it all looks like, okay, and what's the investment? You know, everybody wants the dividend check or the return, okay, but you got to make the investment, because when you make the investment's going to come back to you. And I truly believe that this group, this small leadership group, these captains, man, they get it. They know where we're at right now, but that's not where they want to be. That's not, you know, man, who they are. That's not who we are. But really, you got to change the tape. And when we change the tape, we change the narrative.
Coach, always good to be with you. We'll see you at practice this week. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Take
care. That's Coach Derek Mason with us, as always, here on the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we hope to be joined by a World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, Vandy boy, Walker Buehler, will join us right after this. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to be with you. Great to have Derek Mason with us there a moment ago. And thrilled to have a World Series champion join us right now, Walker Buehler, Vandy boy, who has done a marvelous job with the Los Angeles Dodgers, part of their run to the World Series championship. And Walker, congratulations. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I tell you, it's great to be with you. And, you know, you were a part of a World Series in college and part of a World Series now in the major leagues. How do they compare?
You know, I think obviously, you know, winning the World Series here in the big leagues is obviously something really special. And, you know, I think when you win at any level, when a group kind of comes together and achieves that singular goal, I think it's going to be special. And, you know, I don't know that there's that much more to say about it, to be honest with you. I think winning your last game is a feeling that kind of is inexplainable.
I know you were really, really hoping. It's kind of, I'm sure it was a conundrum for you, because you were really hoping to get the ball in game 7. But if you win game 6, you win the World Series. So you were kind of caught in that mix, weren't you?
Yeah, I will take us winning the 6th game all day, every day. Obviously, I felt good about going out there the next day. But, you know, we got it done, and we got it done in 6, and I couldn't be happier.
I thought it was interesting, Walker. And I heard the broadcasters, you know, Joe Buck and John Smoltz talking about several things. One of the things they mentioned when you were pitching through the course of the series, one of the things they said was that you had played at the highest level in college, playing at Vanderbilt and going to the World Series and winning a college World Series. And they said they felt that helped you prepare for the situation you were in now. Is that true?
I would think so. Obviously, you know, Corbs does a great job of preparing us for kind of any moment. And, you know, as you grow older and mature a little bit, you kind of feel that more and understand more what we were doing. And then you get to a level like the World Series, right? And those things kind of kick in. So, you know, I think anytime you're competing against groups of your peers and at a high level, it's going to help you down the road if you're in that situation again. So I definitely think it was a big part of it for me.
I'm curious, and I've watched you obviously develop and grow, and we all, I think all of us who followed you here at Vanderbilt knew that you had a great future. And I know you, and I know you're a very confident guy, and you're very confident in your ability. But I wonder, was there a point, was there a game, was there an at-bat, I don't know what it is, but was there a point where you realized and you thought everybody realized, I belong here, I belong in this rotation? Was there one game or one moment where you said this was a defining moment for me?
I kind of see it as a long series of them, to be honest with you. I think, you know, if you're going to be confident and kind of say the things that I say to people sometimes, I think it can be a little out of line if you aren't somebody that, you know, kind of feels they've earned it, right? So at every point, I feel like I've checked the box. And you know, getting to the big leagues was a big box for me, winning a couple games. Obviously, we kind of got off to a good start with the combined no-hitter thing in Mexico. And, you know, my rookie year was, was kind of a lot of those. A lot of, you know, luck went my way, and then your confidence builds, and then you get through the playoffs and feel good about where I was at the end of the playoffs. Obviously, there's a couple bumps in the road, and even in the first couple games of that. So, you know, you just keep adding to the mental resume, I guess, and you know, you feel that confidence kind of becomes earned, or at least isn't out of nowhere. And I think the past couple of years have just kind of added to that for me.
Can you take us back, Walker, 2015? I believe that's when you went through Tommy John surgery, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, can you take us back through that? Because I would imagine there's got to be some uncertainty in your mind about having to go through that and what you're going to be on the other side of that. And it appears to all of us, you came through that, I don't want to say better than you were, but darn near, sure looks like it.
I think that's probably fair. I think I'm probably significantly better. I think, you know, everyone wants to talk about the physical side and the ligament and the elbow and the surgery and stuff, right? But if you take a year and kind of have to sit and just work, and you're not getting, you know, that positive feedback of going and winning a game or anything like that, I think you learn a lot about yourself. And, you know, I think I grew up a lot in that year, and my work ethic changed a little bit and became a little more centralized, I think. And, you know, I was fortunate enough that had a great surgeon and a great rehab team, and, you know, the support of the Dodger organization to kind of give me everything that I could have wanted and needed. And you know, was fortunate that my arm came out of it all right. And you know, kind of the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, well, we are thrilled to be visiting with Walker Buehler, a World Series champion with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And before we go to the break, I'll ask you, you're a Lexington, Kentucky guy, right? I mean, that's your hometown.
Yep.
So are you a Lexington guy or a Los Angeles guy now?
Oh, I don't know. I think I live in Lexington and work in Los Angeles, but no, we enjoy it out here. Obviously, the weather and kind of the lifestyle is a lot different than what we're used to. But yeah, I think Lexington's kind of still going to be home for me.
Yeah, you don't mind if we claim you on West End a little bit, do you?
No, that's okay.
We appreciate that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more with Walker Buehler coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher with you, and great to be joined by Vandy Boy and a former Commodore and now World Series champion, Walker Buehler, starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, joining us, and certainly appreciate him spending a few minutes with us here tonight. And Walker, let's go back to 2014. That was the College World Series championship year. You were a big part of that. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, you know, we had a good team. I remember the year before we had kind of run through the conference and you know, expected to do the same thing. So we came back and kind of went to the drawing board a little bit. And you know, we just had a great group of guys that wanted to do it. I think there's saying you want to win a World Series, and then there's kind of putting in the time and the effort. And kind of got off to a tough start in the conference, and then kind of got hot late and were able to put it together.
You had some big games in the postseason. Let me go back to the National League Championship Series, Game 6. You win that game 3-1. What do you remember about that game? And talk about taking the mound, realizing that your season is on the line if you're not able to win that game.
Yeah, it's a big spot. I think kind of similar to how we were in school. You know, we were always talked about and known, and you get kind of 3-1 and then 3-2 and take the ball. Obviously, I wish Swanson wouldn't have gotten three hits off of me, but you know, other than that, it went pretty well for us. So, you know, our offense got an early lead for me, and kind of you're not on cruise control at any point in the playoffs, right? But you have a lead, you can be aggressive, and we were fortunate enough that it worked out for us.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you gave up like six hits, and Dansby had three of them. You know, what is it like when you face a teammate, a former teammate? Because there are a bunch of Andy boys in the league now, you know, around. What is that like?
Yeah, you know, I think as a pitcher, you can kind of lose your edge a little bit just because you know that they know you're not going to hit them in the head, you know. So I think some of that fear is kind of gone. So I think Dansby might need to get one a little bit up by his face at some point. I don't want to hit him, but he's got to be a little scared of me, I think.
Got to buzz the tower a little bit.
Yeah, I think I might have to.
Well, he was a roommate of yours, wasn't he?
Yep, our freshman year we were roommates.
Did you foresee all of this for both of you?
You know, it's hard to say yes, but, you know, I think both of us, you know, came in and believed pretty highly of ourselves, and obviously had an incredible career, and then getting traded, and you're kind of, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen. But, you know, I think him being from Atlanta and playing for the Braves, I don't think it could have worked out any better for him. And you know, we're obviously happy for his success, not against us, but, you know, I'm extremely happy for him.
Are you able to visit Walker with when you play? I'm just thinking, when you play San Francisco and you've got Mike Yastrzemski out there, or Oakland and Tony Kemp, or Cincinnati and Sonny Gray and Kurt Casale, and you kind of go, are you able to visit with those guys at all, or is it all business and you really can't touch base with each other?
No, you'll kind of check in and see each other across the way or in between batting practices and things like that, but obviously not when I'm going to pitch. I'll stay in there and not give them any kind of smile or anything, but no, I think you kind of touch base and kind of catch up, see how everybody's doing. But for sure in spring training, we all get together a lot and kind of hang out and then go our separate ways.
Walk us through Game 3 of the World Series. Six innings, one run, 10 strikeouts. You're setting records, you know, in that regard. Your fastball was electric that night. And I wonder, as a pitcher, there are some nights you probably feel like you have it, and some nights maybe you don't. Did you just kind of feel like you had it that night?
Yeah, you know, it was coming out of my hand well. And I think when you're getting the playoffs, you're obviously going to have adrenaline, and I think you're just trying to use that in some way. And luckily kind of found a way to harness it, I feel like. And, you know, made a couple bad pitches in the fifth to give up that run, but, you know, I felt pretty under control and pretty calm throughout that one. So it's an interesting thing, man, when you get all adrenalined up and all, you know, hyped up, and then things kind of calm down and slow down for you. So, you know, we felt comfortable and you know, it was a big one for me and for our team.
What is the media attention like for you in L.A.? You know, I think a lot of us, you know, we're around it. We've got an NFL team here, and we understand the media attention for professional sports to some degree, but I don't think we can imagine what it's like in a market like Los Angeles. What is the media attention like for you?
You know, I think that's kind of a double-edged sword, right? There's a lot going on in Los Angeles, big city, a lot of people, diehard fan base, and obviously, you know, the way they turn out for our games is huge and a huge advantage for us, but on the other side of that, you know, there's a lot going on in Los Angeles that's not the Dodgers. So, you know, we got a fair amount of media and people that we have been around a long time in this market and reporting on the Dodgers. But, you know, I don't think it's overwhelming by any means. You know, I think most of the guys are pretty fair. And, you know, getting to know them has been cool over the past couple of years. And, yeah, it's a great place to play, and we're really fortunate to be here.
What does it mean to you when you have performances and you start to get mentioned with names like Koufax and Hershiser, you know, in performances that they've had? That's heady stuff. You know, and that, I mean, I would think there's a certain amount of pride in that, but how do you handle that when you start to hear that conversation?
Yeah, you know, I think the first few times that any of that stuff comes off, you know, you feel kind of silly. You feel like, well, why are people even talking about this? But I'm not anywhere close to these guys. And you know, I still feel that way. I think, you know, this is my third full year and just trying to kind of keep being successful and keep moving forward and winning with our team. And so, you know, I think all that stuff's all cool and dandy, but I'm just kind of still trying to go get people out and get wins for our team.
I thought it was interesting, Walker, after your World Series win, I think the quote you said was, "I enjoy doing this." That's a pretty basic comment, but I think that says a lot. I mean, just kind of explain, you know, your feeling about that, because it sounds like you're just pretty comfortable in doing what you do.
Yeah, you know, I think the pressure and things like that, like the World Series or like a big game, I think some guys can be successful and then they're relieved, right? They're relieved that it went well. And for me, it's just, I just try and keep things as similar as I can while kind of embracing that adrenaline in the moment, I guess. And I just think it's so much fun to play in games like that. And you know, obviously enjoy being successful a lot more than failing.
You're on a staff with a guy that I think is a first ballot Hall of Famer, in Clayton Kershaw. But there was a lot of talk during the course of the playoffs and the World Series, and you know, you're getting hyped big time. And I mean, at one point, and I remember Joe Buck, you know, clearly saying, you know, this is the ace of this staff, talking about you. There can be sensitivities, you know, in that regard. So I guess my question would be, what's your relationship like with Kershaw in this situation?
Yeah, Kershaw's one of the best humans I've ever been around. I think that's kind of well documented and well known. I think he just wanted to win a World Series and has put his entire life into doing so. And you know, I think if I could be an addition to that, obviously, I think he welcomed it and has been awesome to me. So, I don't think there's much need to number or rank or say any of that ace stuff for me personally. It kind of feels silly, like I was saying earlier, but getting to learn from him and kind of pick his brain and watch him work has been invaluable for me. And, you know, we're happy to have him around.
What did it mean? Because he's not had the most success in postseason, to have him have the game he had at the situation that he had, that had to be huge.
Yeah, you know, it was awesome to see him kind of be Clayton Kershaw for an entire playoffs. I think a lot of the criticism of him is pretty unfair in terms of that stuff, just because of the situations that he's kind of taken the ball and tried to carry a team in the past. And you know, we're fortunate now that we've got the depth and the younger guys, you know, myself included, to kind of not have to have him carry that burden. And it was awesome. And you know, I don't think if he wasn't as good as he was this year in the playoffs, I don't think it would feel quite the same, even if we had won it. Obviously, all of us watch him kind of day to day and are just happy that, or so happy for him that it worked out exactly the way it did.
That guy Mookie got out there is pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right.
Must be nice to have him behind you.
It certainly is, man. He's a special player and a special human as well. I'm pretty glad, I know Corbs is too, that he didn't end up in a volunteer uniform.
That's right. Well, let me ask you finally, for Vanderbilt folks, how connected are you able to continue to be with the Vandy boys in the program?
Yeah, you know, I think you go from being with them every day to kind of being out on your own. And you know, we talk as much as we can. And we got Kyle Smith's wedding coming up, which I'm pretty excited for. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just all kind of find little ways here and there to catch up. And, you know, spring training's a big one. We all get together. And then you kind of got your close group that you talk to throughout the year and kind of check in on. So, you know, it's nice, man. We've got a good group of guys that are coming up, are already in the big leagues. And obviously guys like Price that have been there a long time, and Sonny. And, it's a nice thing to be a part of.
Well, we are so happy for you and so proud of you. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes tonight to be with us and talk to our fans here. It's great to visit with you. And congratulations on your World Series championship. And I think there's a lot more in your future, my friend.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys later on.
Thank you so much. That's Walker Buehler, the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, and I think there's a lot more in his future. We appreciate him joining us for a few moments here tonight. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up right after this. Welcome back. Our final moments of the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Great to have Commodore head football coach Derek Mason join us as always. And then World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers starting pitcher Walker Buehler. My goodness, to watch what he has become and what he has developed. And, boy, that fastball is just unbelievable. And I remember, and I know a lot of you do as well, in the 2014 season and, you know, going back to he was not a weekend rotation guy. He was the midweek guy. He was the guy that they handed the ball to on Tuesday, and he basically beat everybody they played during the midweek and just got wins. And just, those were very important, and he assumed that role. He accepted that role. Then he had a marvelous performance in the College World Series as well against UC Irvine. We certainly remember that and just – went on to be a tremendous player, and remember the draft pick that he became, and going to the Dodgers, and my goodness, he has become certainly an ace on that staff. So we appreciate him spending time with us. Commodores will travel to Starkville, Mississippi on Saturday. They will take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs, 3 o'clock Central Time kickoff for that one from Starkville. So we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks to Alex in the studio. Thanks to all of you for being with us. Stay tuned. The Anchor Down Podcast with Max is next right here on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.